Well, welcome everyone. Welcome to our celebration of life. We got the record button to work. It's great to be with you. We're going to be taking on quality number 5 today, joy in the journey. Last week we talked about discipline and structure and the importance of letting go of resistance and resentment and taking action. Before we jump into our next quality, is there anything that anyone would like to share regarding their experience this past week? Listening, remember the assignment we had, and then making a different decision and choosing differently. Anybody have an experience they would like to share?
Dave, this is Diana.
Hi, Diana.
I got derailed. I had one plan in mind of what I...
I'm listening.
I put my all into it, and I was really proud of the result that I got.
Oh, wonderful. We had you kind of dropped out there for just a moment, so share with us a little bit about the plan and what happened.
Well, I have been, initially, I wanted to do the illustrations for my new website that I'm putting together, and I used to be a professional illustrator a long time ago, and I have been kind of scared to get back into it, and just as I had made the commitment to do that, I received a call from a client I had been working with and about a year ago, and he, because of some unfortunate circumstances that occurred, he decided to move the project forward. And immediately, and it's for a book, and I can't talk much about it at the moment, but it's scaring the bejesus out of me. It is just such a big project. And I needed to find just the right angle in order to put it together so I could present it properly. And it was real difficult to find it, but then I had to go out of town unexpectedly. On the long drive back home, I figured it out, and it's because I really focused on it, and I didn't run from it. And I kept telling myself, I can do this, and this is a gift from God, and everything that I need in order to do this successfully has been given to me, and I just proceeded from there. So,
are you smiling?
Inside, yeah. I guess outside, too.
You're driving back on a long drive.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of fear about, what do I do? It sounds like you're doing a little mental rehearsing,
mm-hmm.
opening yourself up to power in the universe, to your own natural genius, and guess what happens?
It comes through for me.
It comes through. That's how it works. That's it. That's beautiful.
Thank you.
Now, since then, have you had moments of doubt, wondering whether or not you could actually pull it off?
Yeah.
Yeah? Can you hear those thought processes? What's the truth of it? What's the truth?
I can do it, and I do have everything that I need. And I may not have everything in place, but I have enough connections that can help me to do the things that I can't do on my own. And they are in place.
And there you go. way to be. And isn't it interesting, you said, I needed to go out of town for something that was unexpected.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, perhaps it was planned exactly that way. Because you chose to use drive time as mental time, and your mind won't stop thinking until it comes up with a solution. And when we stop having fear around it, we bring all of this other clarity into the obsessive thought, if you will, or the vivid visualization. All of a sudden, there it is. Wow. Not a minute too soon, and not a minute too late. Exactly when it's supposed to come. Way to be. That's awesome.
Thank you.
You're so welcome. That's a combination of both discipline and structure in your analytical measurement and mental creation, your goal-oriented measurement, working in unison, and you choosing to get away from those thought processes that want to tell you you don't have the ability. You get to meet your true self. Isn't it fun to meet your true self? Wow.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite remarkable, another, the difference between... Go ahead.
I was just going to say, another thing that occurred to me was that perhaps my feeling like I've been stuck has been more because I've not been dreaming big enough. I've not been... the little things aren't really exciting me. It's the things that push me that seem to be maybe what I'm more about what I'm supposed to be doing, rather than being in my comfort zone. Or I shouldn't say that, because the website is not in my comfort zone, and the illustration is not. But I think that this book project is more in alignment with my greater purpose.
Mm-hmm. And you never know, maybe the decision to take on the website opens you up to possibility. And you see this equation, this is an interesting equation. We say comfort zone. What does that mean? It means the limitations that our unhealthy habits of thinking place on us. When Og said, I have surrendered my free will, remember this, to these years of accumulated habits, and the past deeds of my life have already threatened to imprison my future. That's what a comfort zone is. It's a prison. Mm-hmm. And the boundaries are our unhealthy habits of thinking. When we step outside of our comfort zone, all we're doing is embracing our genius. It feels like new territory because we don't spend a lot of time out there. But when you do this project and you deliver, are you going to feel different about yourself, do you think?
Oh, yeah.
And the next person calls it the book project. I don't know what we're going to do, don't know how to approach it, but I do know how to figure it out. Your confidence level will go up and up and up. And every time you're expanding this comfort zone, the limitations that you're allowing your unhealthy habits of thinking to have on you, the prison in which they want to hold you and keep you playing small. So everybody on the phone, just think about, what is your comfort zone? What is it that you've been afraid to step out and do? And is it about ability, or is it about an unhealthy habit of thinking trying to hold you back and keep you small? That's very courageous, Diana. Thank you for sharing tonight. That's beautiful.
Thank you.
Anyone else who would like to share? Well, thank you, Diana, for sharing that. That was incredible. That's where the rubber meets the road. That's where we live our life. It's in those kinds of moments and the decisions we make in those moments, and they make all the difference. We're going to go into a section of the assessment tonight. It's on the right-hand side. It's in our internal world. It's the conversation we have with ourselves about our life and our work. If we look at these three sections in our assessment, self-esteem is the conversation we have with ourselves about ourselves. We'll take that on next week. Join the journey. Conversation we have with ourselves about our work and our life, how everything's showing up. And mental creation is really the thought processes we have about the world and how we fit in it. How do we show up in it? Do we show up in it with obligation? Do we show up with it expecting perfection of ourselves and of others and the situations in the world? Do we come to it overwhelmed by everything we need to do, etc.? So thoughts we have with ourselves about ourselves, thoughts we have with ourselves about our life and world, and thoughts we have about how we show up in the world, how our world. So we're going to spend time on this middle section, joy in the journey. There's some critical measurements in this particular area, and this is an area that's generally challenged in most assessments. Most people are not really, their thought processes are not very happy with their current circumstances. Either what they're doing or how quickly things are being created or the money that's being generated or the scheduling of the time. This is the tangible world we live in. This is, I'm just touching my desk right here. This is our life. This is where we wake up. This is what we wake up to every morning. This is where we go to sleep from. This is our life. How are we viewing this? What's happening? Now, we know that this section is most often, not always, but most often, negatively impacted by mental creation. If we show up here living in obligation, not healthy. We show up here expecting perfection of ourselves and we fall short of it, not a good place. We show up in this place expecting other people to do things in a certain way at a certain time, we're going to be disappointed. So a mental creation, just take a look down there for a moment and say, wow, what am I bringing into this world and what impact is it having on my ability to enjoy my life, to be with it and enjoy it? So let's take a look at a couple of these measurements. The first one is grateful. And the question that's asked in this measurement is, do I intrinsically love what I do, or do I intrinsically love my life? What that means is that at the deepest, richest, most important level, is this feeding my soul? Is it turning out as I had hoped? Is this of value to me? This is my world. Grateful. It's not whether I'm grateful, because you can step back from this thought process and be grateful. I may even change this word before we go too much further into the assessment work. But it simply is, do I intrinsically love my work and my life? And so many people don't. And the simple reason is that it's not showing up the way our mind has already seen it. We use our expectations, our fantasy, and we hold this, what is real. This is real. We hold it hostage. We hold it hostage to where we would like it to be. The question is, where are we? Are we in our mind? Well, someone might say, well, people do have homes like that. They do drive cars like that. They are out of debt. Yes, they are. But in my world where I'm showing up in it, I'm creating an expectation that is not being fulfilled. So I'm going, ugh. What impact does this have on joy? Being able to feel this value in our lives and what we're doing, that it's meaningful. Let's take a look at grateful and go, wow, what's happening here? Now, it's been a while since I've gone into this as deeply as we have in the past. We'll see if I can for just a moment. Grateful has two different components. One of them is owning what we already have. can I see the value in what I've already been given? Do I value this? You know, I've asked you in the past, I'll ask you tonight, to just hold a 10-pound block of clay in your hands. This is your life. As we're looking at this clay, do we look over there and want somebody else's or something different? Do we want to be someone else, somewhere else, doing something different? Do we wish our circumstances and our relationships and finances and career paths, and do we want it different than it is? And so are we ignoring our clay? Because gratitude requires that we first own this. And what's interesting is we have two options. We either own the clay we've been given, or we live in resentment and resistance and rebellion. Sadly, that's the only two options. We either embrace our clay, or we live in resistance, resentment, and rebellion. Should we choose to own our clay? This is my clay. This is what I've been given. Maybe I'm not 7'2" and I'd like to be. Maybe I'm not a 235-pound linebacker like I used to want to be. Maybe I'm not going to ever be worth millions of dollars. Maybe, whatever it is for you. It's first owning what is. I may be faced with, I was with a dear friend today whose wife is struggling with Parkinson's. The last year and a half she's gone downhill so fast. Bless his heart. Oh my goodness. I don't want that clay. Who would want that clay? But that's the clay that he and she have been given. So we embrace the clay. And there's something almost magical that occurs when we choose our clay. We choose ours. We stop being angry about not having somebody else's. We stop being jealous or covetous. We choose our clay. This is uniquely ours. It's been given to us for a reason. And we choose this clay. That's only half of being grateful. The other half is what we do with the clay once we own it. See, we're supposed to want more. Challenge is the confusion we have in our society is that we want more of somebody else's clay. It is a natural, innate desire. Og even wrote about it. He said, within me burns a flame, passed down from generations uncounted, and its heat is a constant irritation to my spirit to be better than I am, and I will be. I will fan these flames of dissatisfaction and proclaim my uniqueness to the world. In terms of our own ability, and we're looking at our clay and going, wow, I'm going to take this clay and I'm going to own it. Because what we're supposed to want to do is to take what we have and then create the most we can with it. It doesn't matter who has the most toys when it's over. It's who did the best job of maximizing what they were given. That's really the reward. When you're ready to leave this planet and you look back, and you know you've taken the gifts you've been given and created the most you can with them in terms of relationships, in terms of career path, in terms of service to others, you can leave this planet without any regret. And we want to leave without regret. So we own the clay. That's half. Two, we create the most we can with it because we're supposed to want more because we've been given the fiduciary responsibility to take the clay we've been given and create the most we can with it. An unknown author once said, basically the clay we've been given is God's gift to us. What we do with the clay is our gift to him. So we want to focus on creating the most we can with the clay. Now, there are a couple of true principles that come into play. And they are miraculous. No question, they're miraculous. Because there's no power in the universe that will ever bless us with more clay if we're rejecting the gift we've already been given. I think of my dear friend, Chad Hymas, who's a quadriplegic. is quadriplegic, who gave 300 speeches last year, traveled 500,000 miles, did almost all of it traveling by himself. It's remarkable to watch. I've been on a trip with him, it's remarkable to watch. He has taken the clay he's been given. He doesn't want to be quadriplegic. He doesn't want to burden his wife with that responsibility or his children. He doesn't want to be in a situation where he can't throw a baseball with his sons. This is a man who owned an elk ranch, who was an avid hunter and athlete. Incredible. He's now confined to a wheelchair for the balance of his days, period. But what he's done is taken the clay he's been given, and he would be the first one to tell you it took a little while to get here because he was very resentful when it happened. Very hard. But when he finally embraced it, he became the youngest member of the Speaker Hall of Fame, the National Speakers Association. He's one of the highest paid speakers in the country, millions of dollars in fees. His book premiered at 150,000 pre-orders. He speaks on almost every continent for mining companies. His topic is safety. And he weaves in principles about family and relationships. It's beautiful to watch him talk about it. And you could hear a pin drop wherever he speaks because of who he is and what has happened to him. There is such reverence for the fact that he's sitting in front of them, that he can speak things nobody else could say and get away with, not a corporate setting, about the importance of being a good person. It's wonderful to watch. He's creating the most he can with the clay he's been given. And two things happen when we do that that are miraculous. One, people are put on our path who we can serve and who can serve us. Chad would be the first to give you a whole list of people that have come into his life along the way, mentors who've opened up this door and opened that door to make it possible for him to do what he does. The other, we're given more clay. We're given more clay. Not until we fully maximize, own and fully maximize the clay we've been given. We are given more clay. I know. I've watched Chad speak. He wasn't a speaker when he started this. He was a rancher. And now he speaks with such clarity, such intuitive ability. It is remarkable to watch him. So what is your clay? Just ponder with me tonight for a moment. What's your clay? And what is it about your clay that has you frustrated? Just write it down on a piece of paper. What is it that's got me frustrated? Well, my bank account's low, or I've got a health challenge, or I've got a relationship challenge, or whatever it might be. Just write it down. What's your clay? I have an addiction. Don't forget to write down here that I can run 5 miles without getting exhausted. Whatever those strengths might be, I'm a good writer. I'm a graphic artist. Make sure you put those on there. Write as many of these things down as you can. Just write about your clay. Do a self-inventory, both of challenges and strengths. Because as you're focusing, you'll see more strengths. You'll have a thought process or two that's going to try to talk you out of writing it down. Just boldly write it down. Just write it down. I'm strong, I'm healthy, I'm good-looking, whatever it might be. Just write it down. Get all those things down on a piece of paper. Because there's your clay. That's what you've been given to work with. What opportunities can you find in that clay? Look for opportunities. Don't look for the things you can't do because of. Look for the things you can do because of. Push yourself a little bit. I like what Diana said, stretching. Stretch. Open yourself up to possibilities. Mentally rehearse your clay. What could you see yourself doing with this clay? Who could be blessed by this life experience you had here or this life experience you had there? What are you meant to do with your clay? This week, your homework assignment. Very simple. Take this inventory and make sure you have as many strengths as you have challenges. It's so much easier for us to find the challenges, especially if we've wanted somebody else's clay. And a lot of those will be in relationship to somebody else's clay. I don't have as much money. Compared to who? Compared to somebody over in India? Where you have some young person trying to get food out of the city's garbage and trash? Where's the money comparison? Do you have sufficient for your needs? What's going on financially for you? Because we always are focused on what we don't have. That's generally in comparison. So take the comparison out. Say, wow, I'm blessed. I have a place to live tonight. I have food to eat. Wow, what a blessing. Here's some clay. Take this personal inventory, and then this week, have a sobering evening where you just take a good look at everything on that page and make the decision to choose it. I choose me. Choose me. Because your choice, as I said earlier, is to choose resentment and resistance and rebellion. That's the only other choice. Because we don't get to choose somebody else, to be somebody else. We can have companions and relationships, but to be someone else, we don't get to choose that. So I choose to be me. I choose me. I choose my clay. Now, once you've done that, third thing I want you to do is say, where are the opportunities in my clay? Who could I serve based on what's happening here? Remember, Diana set this up beautifully for us tonight. She's driving home, a long drive home, and she gets an answer. Isn't that fun? Could almost feel parts of her brain light up, couldn't you? Just, wow, your passion gets ignited, and you can hardly wait to get home so you can actually start putting pen to paper to actually create it. But you see it. Wow, yeah, that's what I need to do. Oh, good. Ooh, it just resonates. You just see it before you. And stay in that space with your clay. Now, I think what you'll discover, Diana helped us understand, we have this comfort zone. And there's a good chance that you'll be examining your clay, but restricted by a comfort zone. Prison, imprisoned by unhealthy habits of thinking. Just stretch yourself outside that in terms of going outside the comfort zone for these mental rehearsals of what you can do with your clay. Because the comfort zone is not your clay. That's your thought process is trying to parcel out a corner of it. It wants you to believe the corner is your clay. No, you get all 10 pounds. Open up and see what else is in that clay. Open up and stretch and then execute. When you get an inspired idea, act on it as if it's an urgent assignment. Stay in this kind of a space. Because when we own our clay and we do the most we can, create the most we can with our clay, this grateful measurement is balanced. So is the persistent measurement. We stop thinking about the fact that we need money. Because if we are focused on money, money runs away. It just does. Chase it, it runs. Chase it, it runs. We stop focusing on that. We're focusing on taking our clay, creating the most we can in the service of others, and money flows. Money flows, it doesn't run. Effective, we stop running around like a chicken with our head cut off. You know, this frenetic, non-goal-directed activity, trying to create right now what our mind has already seen. No, take a big, deep breath. We see our clay. We're working on something specific, living in the now, in creation, acting on inspired ideas. Realistic? Oh, this measurement, when it's orange, is so closely tied with Diana's experience of feeling overwhelmed. A client moves up the deadline. They need to have all this information. And I don't know what to do. I'm lost. I don't know how to get from here to there. Sometimes we stay in this kind of a space forever. That's when that realistic measurement is turning orange or red. We don't know what to do to get there. Diana gave us a great example. Just quieted her mind. Her case, she went on a long trip. Drove there on the drive back, long drive back, she said. She had time to be quiet, peaceful. And it comes. Now she knows what to do. Her passion's ignited, got clarity, take action. Diligent. We don't let things get in the way, and we don't blame things that are in the way. You can't stop us. We work without counting the cost or tracking the time. We know there are going to be obstacles. That's part of the deal. We no longer get stuck in them. We no longer resent them. We no longer get angry when they happen. We learn from them and move through them. And vigilant, we stop questioning. I know I meant to do something really important. What is it? Where is it? Because we discover one of the great lessons of life. It's less important what we do, and more important, how we do it. How we do it. In other words, are we taking our clay, creating the most we can with it? Are we focused on doing so in the service of others? Are we stepping into someone's world? Are we listening to them? Are we taking down their walls of resistance? Are we creating trust? Are we using our mind constructively and getting inspired ideas? If we're doing those things, it's less important what we do and more important how we do it. We stop trying to figure out how to go to Africa to save the world. And then we go to Africa and we drag all these unhealthy habits of thinking with us, and we hate Africa too. We discover that by doing the right thing for the right reason, we can be happy almost anywhere, doing almost anything. It's a great discovery. Joy in the journey. It's like if we're not experiencing joy, it takes out the purpose for life. We are to have joy. Joy doesn't require that everything be going well. Just means how we show up in it. We could be in the middle of a firestorm experiencing joy. So the homework assignment, one more time. So take that clay, inventory it, and then choose it. And then begin the process of creating the most we can with it by exploring possibilities within that clay. Don't keep going outside for something you don't have. Within that clay, within these parameters, what can I do? And know that your comfort zone is probably smaller than those parameters. It's much wider than that. This has just been restricted by unhealthy habits of thinking. That's what I want to share with you tonight. We've talked about owning clay before. But I would submit to you that some of the greatest challenges we face in life is when we don't own clay we have and spend our time focused on creating the most we can with it. Okay. Any thoughts before we wrap up this session tonight?
Hi, Dave. This is Carrie.
Hi, Terry. You said Carrie or Terry?
Carrie Pepper.
Oh, hi, Carrie. Hello, Pepper.
Hi.
I'm a Pepper, you're a Pepper. We're a Pepper, too.
That's right. I remember that little jingle.
Yep.
I just wanted to say that this feels like a very heavy assignment to me. A big, heavy piece of clay. And I'm a little daunted by it, but I'm really glad that you gave us this assignment. I've kind of tried to do it in a way before. You know, I'll sit in my backyard with my gratitude journal and, you know, list all the things I'm grateful for, but I think this is going to be a lot more to it.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to figuring out how to bring joy in, because I don't have nearly enough joy, and my boyfriend/fiance? Is constantly saying, "You don't have joy. You don't have joy. There's no joy." And so I'm looking for joy.
Thank you. Do you have any sense why it feels heavy?
I think I should be more grateful for what I have and not less, and not always wanting more. But I want a lot more, and I don't know. I'm in this part in between, and I'm kind of stuck in the middle. You know, kind of like when they talk about people being between life and death. You know, in that spot, in that place. Kind of how I feel.
Let me give you just a couple of pieces of clarity, if I may. I said earlier tonight, you're supposed to want more. So be okay with that. The question is, more of what? And that's when we get messed up, because we'll go into that situation wanting more of what we fantasized versus creating more with what is. The heaviness can be, and it can be very real, just so you know, can be very real, because if we've gone into fantasy and we've got a fantasy journal and we've got all kinds of goals and expectations we've created in that world, it is so real to the mind that to let go of that is tantamount to cutting your heart out with a dull knife. I don't want you to do that. I don't want you to give up your dreams. I don't want anybody to give up their dreams. I just want you to stop living in them.
Mm-hmm.
I want everybody to embrace what is. What is? That's the clay. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is what I can go cut a check for tomorrow. This is how far I can run. This is how much I need to eat. This is the color of my hair. This is my health condition. It's everything about me, my talents, skills. That's what is. What is? It's not to limit us. It's to ground us. Because we can't build anything on a foundation of fantasy. You can't build on it. You build on the bedrock of reality. Now, once we embrace what really is, and we begin to build from there, there is no limit how high we can build. And if we know that we're building with our clay, and we get more clay, and people are put on our path who can serve us and who we can serve, there's no limit to how far we can go. But it's requisite on, is dependent on, first starting on a bedrock of reality. So you don't need to spend very much time here. We just need to build from here. Otherwise, we're going to build a house of cards. This is when we go buy stuff on credit cards and living on debt and taking equity out of our houses to try to spend ourselves into prosperity. It's a house of cards. It comes crashing down eventually. We want to build on a bedrock of reality. That's what is. That's the clay we currently have. Not the clay we're always going to have. The clay we currently have. Now let's take it and begin creating the most we can with it, because everything that we create becomes real. Real money in a real bank account with which to buy a real couch. Kind of a trite way of saying it. It's all about what's real. Now we build and we build and we build. And the day will come when you're actually sitting in one of your dreams, except it's no longer a fantasy, it's a reality. paid the price to be here. I'll tell you what, you'll honor it. You'll protect it. You'll maintain it. Because you paid the price to create it. It wasn't given to you. Yeah, so if that's heaviness, just know there is a chemical release in the body that comes when we're backing down from being in a fantastical state to embracing what is, because we feel like we're going to lose something, like it's going to be over, like we're going to, the word is acquiesce, give up, give in. No, we're just going to finally go to the one place where we can actually start building a foundation. Now let's build as quick as we can. And you can hear the mind going, I don't want to be here, I want to be over there. Yeah, but you can't drive that, eat that, live in that. It's just in our mind. We want it here in our tangible reality. We want to live our dreams.
I love the bedrock of reality. That's really good.
That feels good. That's the truth,
yeah.
Isn't it? That's the truth of it.
I think I'm on
But don't get depressed by it.
Right.
You can. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, I was just going to say, I don't want to take too much time, but I think I'm on the right path, because this week after I got back from Provo, I decided that I needed to start being on this 5 o'clock a.m. call that, of course, it's 8 o'clock for people on the East Coast, but it's 5 o'clock for me, and I've been dreading doing that because I don't like to get up at 5 o'clock. But I decided on Monday, I said, okay, I don't want to get up at 5 o'clock, but if I want to get to where I want to go, I have to get up at 5 o'clock. And so
yep.
I'm getting there.
I want to. I get to. I choose to.
That's
right. I will command, and I will obey my own command. Yeah. And the 5 o'clock call gives you a chance to practice discipline, hear a principle, and then you create when you actually apply it.
Right.
Well, thank you for sharing. This has been helpful for everybody. Everybody got that now? If you feel a heaviness, you're just coming down to the bedrock of reality. And this is where we build. We build always from the bedrock of reality. It doesn't need to stay where it currently is because we're building it up. And we're supposed to want more, but more of what we have, so that we can create more and more and more, more clays given, more ability, more people put on our path. We build, build, build. That becomes our new reality. But it's real. And it's better. Well, thanks, everyone, for being with us tonight. We are going to meet next Tuesday night. I'll be calling you from up at the lake. We'll be up there with the family shortly and welcome you to join us next week. We're going to take on self-esteem. The following week will be the first week of December. What a great week to start on intrinsic validation and connection with people. So we'll see you next Tuesday night. Is there anything else I could do to serve anyone tonight before we wrap up? Go ahead.
I just wanted to say thank you.
Oh, you're so welcome. Thank you, Carrie. Thank you, Diana, for sharing tonight. It's always so helpful when we share and we all learn from each other's experiences. Well, God bless. Have a great week, and we'll be back next Tuesday. Jump off of mute, everyone, and say goodnight.
Goodnight, Dave. Thank you.
Thank you.
Dave. Thank you.
That was awesome.
Hi, Dave.
Bless you.
Thank you.
Bye, Dave.
Good night, everyone. Bye-bye. Have a good night, everyone. Thanks. Bye-bye.